We've been studying in the book of Acts, and in chapter 19, we discovered that there was a group of people in Ephesus, some men that had a unique experience, and they'd been baptized, and a baptism of repentance with John the Baptist. And when the Apostle Paul met them, he laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. They were baptized again. And there was some flow going on there. We were nicely interrupted, though, with Andy and Karina's presence here last week. That was an exciting time. Did you appreciate Andy's message last week? Yeah? Boy, a lot of information and a good challenge from the Word. But this morning we're going to look at rather than Acts chapter 19, we're going to go to Romans chapter 8. There's so many passages that deal with the Holy Spirit, His activity in our lives, and what God did for us in giving the Holy Spirit. Jesus said that it was necessary for Him to go away so that we could receive the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit would be with us. And so it's to our advantage that the Lord Jesus is now interceding for us in heaven, and the Holy Spirit is residing with us. But we can't live a life that's pleasing to God in our own energy. And so many people try to do that. In Romans chapter 8, I found the things that are necessary for us, and then the warning also. Don't try to live the Christian life on your own. God's given us all we need to do that, and we need to make use of it. So we're going to look in Romans chapter 8, beginning at verse 5, and we'll break it down as we go. But verse 5 down through 8. Follow along as I read this. Those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what that nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. Father, as we come to your word, we thank you that you tell us the truth, that you give us the Spirit of truth, and that we can live lives that are pleasing to you and accomplish your purposes here on the earth. And as people have mentioned already, we live in troubled times. But since the Lord Jesus was here, and since creation actually, we have lived in troubled times, troublesome times that the enemy is trying to disrupt your purpose for your kingdom through your people. And so we want to be filled with your Spirit, accomplishing your will on this earth. In Jesus' name, amen. So as we seek the Lord to lead us along through this, the first thing we run into is that the trouble with living by what comes naturally results in death. Living by what comes naturally. I've gotten in trouble. Can you believe that? That I would get in trouble by saying something that's true? That when our children were born, when your children were born, perhaps you even thought this. I brought another little sinner into the world. We're all born with a sinful nature. And I didn't teach our kids, I don't know, I can't speak for everyone, but I didn't teach my kids to be selfish. I didn't teach them to pull hair. I didn't teach them to bite each other. What was it that was spurring them on? They had a sinful nature. Boy, even when they are, we call it the terrible twos, but what do you call an 18-month-old? Because they're getting in trouble already by 18 months, aren't they? They have an ego. There's an eye problem. And it's not physical eyes. It's the I, me, mine, my stuff. Your stuff is yours until I take it from you, and then it's mine. And that happens pretty early in life, and hopefully we outgrow that. But there's three things that the Bible tells us that we're dealing with. And in 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17, we run across these three things that are common to all of us in our sinful nature. And it's lust. And the three areas are the lust of the flesh. And the first one. And that's the consuming desire, the ruling desire in our life to do something. The lust of the flesh. I just want to do something. And it was mentioned this morning in a short conversation that there are people who are adrenaline junkies. And we think, boy, they've just got to live on the edge, and they're watching a little bit of mountain biking competitions. And the things that they do on bicycles, just pedaling, well, mostly gravity, going down hills and jumping and so on. But they want to live on the edge. The paragliders, only without anything other than what they're wearing, and they dive down the canyons, jumping. Base jumping. And living on the edge and getting that rush of adrenaline. Hope, 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 hope. The parachute opens, you know, just hope, hope. And that's the lust of the flesh can be active there. There's the lust of the eyes, and that's a consuming desire to have something, to gain something more, have. And then the third one is the pride of life, that I want to be. I want to be known. I want to be dominant or whatever it would be. But we see in these things the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, the boastful pride of life, that it is all about me. The sinful nature delights in these things, and it promotes these things. We grow up with that kind of activity in our life. And what does the Bible say here? This mind of sinful men is death, and it controls people. I was thinking also about how this messes with marriage. And there are two C words when talking with a couple before they get married. Sometimes it comes up after a couple is married and they just are having real difficulty. But two C words. The first one is competition. And I've seen this over and over and over again, that in a marriage, the couple compete with each other. Who's going to make the decision? Whose will is going to win? And competition is going to destroy a marriage. The other C word is cooperation. Learning to be a student of the spouse, and then cooperating, learning love language, learning what benefits the person. And you see, the sinful nature drives the competition. The Spirit of God will drive the cooperation. Competition and cooperation. So we have conflict with races. We have the BLM. Way to go, Bureau of Land Management. But, maybe that's not what it stands for. The mind of the sinful man, in verse 6, it says, is death. But the mind controlled by the Spirit is life. And so what we try to do is to enjoy life, and so we try and rein in the sinful nature. Society helps us do that. They have laws. And so laws are to help us control our sinful nature. But we find that it's futile and it's hopeless. It's a frustration because what these verses said, those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. It's impossible to live in the control of the sinful nature and please God. So to have a proper control, we must be born again. That's what we experienced when we received the Lord Jesus as our personal Savior. Verse 9, it says, "You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ." He doesn't belong to Him. And so we find here that the Spirit of God lives in you. And that is by invitation. I had a fellow sitting in the office a few years ago now, and he thought he was a Christian. He wanted to be a Christian in activity and in his life. But when we were talking about actually receiving Christ into our life, he said, "Well, I don't recall ever doing that." In Revelation chapter 3, and verse 20, the Lord Jesus is speaking, and he says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him." In talking with this gentleman, we talked about that invitation. You hear, you know Jesus wants to work in your life, but it takes an invitation. Open the door. And that had never occurred to him. He thought Jesus would probably force his way in. But we talked about Jesus being a gentleman in that respect. He's waiting for you to say, "Yes, I invite you into my life." It's not that it results in perfect behavior. We still have a spiritual struggle. The book of Galatians talks about that. Do you want to turn over there and see it? 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Galatians chapter 5. And in verse 16, Galatians 5:16, it says, "So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature." But then here's a conflict. "For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do necessarily what you want." So you don't do what you want. So we're not perfect. We do have spiritual struggles, and there's something I point out to myself. We're all in this together. But there's something that I need to point out, is that there is a cause that we all have. What keeps us from victory in the Spirit? What would you say? What keeps us from victory? Starts with P, ends in E. R is the second letter. I is the third. Pride. Yeah. We all have a problem with pride. How do I know that? Because pride is what got Lucifer into trouble. It's now Satan, the devil, and he fell because of pride. We're confident in ourselves. Confident in our makeup and our sinful nature. We can do this. So what we need is to be born again. We need a new nature. The Holy Spirit who is in you. Peter said that all the resources we need for life and godliness we have through the divine nature that's been given us. And so we have everything we need for life and godliness. So the Holy Spirit gives us all the resources we need. Do you want to live a life pleasing to God? Those that are in the flesh can cannot please God. But in Christ, if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. There's nothing in us, in our flesh, our body is tied up with that we can do to please God. But the Holy Spirit gives us all the spiritual resources we need. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3 says, we have that on the screen. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. So we have all that we need, and we are able to have control over the works of the flesh. Those are listed in Galatians chapter 5. And the works of the flesh are evident. When you read down through there, I need to look at it again. There are things that you might say, I would never do that. I'm not that person. Because they're obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, wastefulness, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition. Wait a minute. There are some that maybe would catch any of us. Jealousy? Fits of rage? That could happen. Selfish ambition. That's not a really deadly thing, is it? Oh. But that's an act of the sinful nature. And we run across the dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. The Bible doesn't talk about it, but we know that there's the science that proves something that goes on with these lusts of the flesh. There are these acts of the sinful nature. And our bodies have a response. We're made up of a lot of chemicals. And when our body is treated to some of this, that is the acts of the sinful nature, we call them addictions. Because chemical responses, whether you do something or not, a chemical response can be imaginary, but our body responds to it. The trouble is, we can't control that. We need someone outside or inside of us that can control the sinful nature, that can break through, overrule what would happen naturally. So we need to know what the Holy Spirit's doing in our lives. In chapter 8 here, verse 10 down through 16, it says, but if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who lives in you. Having the Holy Spirit in us, being born again, having new life by the Holy Spirit, we can have victory because of righteousness that has been imputed to us. Therefore, brothers, we have an obligation, but it is not to the sinful nature to live according to it. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear. But you received the spirit of sonship or adoption. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now if we are children, then we are heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. Our bodies are given to us by God so that we can express ourselves. Our expressions get distorted because sin constrains us. We still have this problem, this battle with sin, but the Spirit empowers us to do God's will. And that's what he's saying here. Instead of heading to death, he lives in us and produces life. But we are to put something to death. What is it we put to death? In the NIV, it says the misdeeds of the body. Other translations just say deeds. Your activity in the body. Put to death the misdeeds of the body, the things that are the acts of the sinful nature. Put to death. Sometimes we don't recognize those. And so we have verse 14. Those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. When you asked Jesus into your life, you became a mature individual in Christ, a mature son, because that person is regarded as the heir. We have all access to all of God's resources when we ask Christ into our life. But then the Holy Spirit leads us to do what? To put to death the misdeeds of the body. It's not simply that he'll lead you today and tomorrow and the next day. There's something very specific he's talking about here. If you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. And those who are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Led to do what? Put to death those misdeeds of the body. And so when we are living our life and the Holy Spirit convicts us of something, what's he doing? He's giving us the opportunity to say, "Ah, Lord, that is a misdeed. I confess my sin, and if anyone confesses his sin, God is faithful and just and will forgive his sin and cleanse him from all unrighteousness, not carry it with yet, but be free and cleansed of that sin." Let's jump down to verse 26. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. God's will is that we walk in the Spirit, that we bear the fruit of the Spirit. God's will is that we be free from sin. And the Spirit prays for us. He intercedes for us. We have the Lord Jesus interceding for us at God's right hand. We have the Holy Spirit interceding for us, knowing our life and every thought that we think and everything about us. He lives in us. And he intercedes for us and he prays for us with groans that can't be expressed. Our responsibility then, in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18, is to be filled with the Spirit. Living a Christian life is impossible without the Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit's power, remember the apostles were told, you go to Jerusalem and you wait, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you'll be my witnesses, Jesus said, in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria, the uttermost part of the earth, to the ends of the earth. That same Spirit that filled the apostles, enabled them to carry out their ministry. God says, be filled with the Spirit so that we can carry out the work God has for us to do here. Ephesians 2:10 says that we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which he planned beforehand, he ordained beforehand, that we should walk in them. But we can't do it without the power of the Holy Spirit, without God's Spirit working in our lives. It doesn't come naturally. It comes by the Holy Spirit being in control and us seeking him, being filled. Now, one of the things that I just want to clarify at the end here, it says be filled with the Holy Spirit. When we receive Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes and resides in us. But being filled, that'll happen once. But being filled is a moment by moment. It's a daily practice. Lord, direct me by your Spirit. Help me to have control over the things that are natural to me that I want to resist. I want to put to death. But you, fill me with your Spirit moment by moment by moment. And God will give us the victory in that. I'd like to pray with you. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you've given us the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to live holy lives. And I thank you, Lord, that it's not our doing, but we are the vessels. We are holding a treasure in earthen vessels, jars of clay. I thank you that you can use us for your glory as your Spirit works in us, as we resist the things that might come naturally that would distract us from your purpose, and we can walk in the ways that you have ordained for us. Thank you for your Spirit. Please fill us that we might accomplish your will. In Jesus' name.